Those of you who are joining us online, thanks for being here. This is a time we don't actually take an offering anymore because that's so 2019. But we give online and we give on our way out. And I just wanted to tell you this year, it's been a strange year. Obviously, it has. You know this. But in the second quarter of 2020, we had the worst attendance. Our church is 21 years old. We had the worst attendance we've ever had. Literally zero. Nobody was here. And then it was pretty scary at that point. But we got to the end of the year, and we discovered that the second quarter in 2020 with our worst attendance was our highest giving ever as a church. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I thought it was exciting. And then we had, in the midst of all of this, we realized, okay, now we're all of a sudden online. We'd been beefing up our tech to get ready. Well, we didn't know it was coming, but we had been beefing up our tech. The Lord knew. And we realized very quickly once we got into it that we needed some different cameras and things to do a better quality product. And so we spent $15,000 on that. Wrote the check. The next morning, someone from the church who actually attends online called and said, God gave my wife a dream, and in the dream, God said that we were to help out the church. What do you need? And like an idiot, I said something like, well, we just need some groceries to deliver to people, because that's what we were doing at the time. We were feeding a lot of people. I didn't even think about the check of $15,000 I just written. So he said, well, if you think of something significant, call me back. And so I called him back later that day, and I said, hey, well, since you asked, we need $15,000, and he brought a check over that day, or the next day, I guess. And I tell you those stories just to remind you how faithful God is. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness throughout this whole year. You've been amazing and very proud. Proud sounds like the wrong word, but proud to call you my church family and to be a part of your spiritual life. So thank you very much for all of that. I appreciate it. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 32 this morning. And I mentioned last week that we were going to be doing a funeral for 2020. It's not really a funeral per se. I have a message. But the Robeson Ranch congregation got so excited about having a funeral for 2021, they all wore black today at church. It was pretty funny. They sent out an email and thought they would surprise me. So this is how we're going to start. I'm going to read 2020's obituary to begin this morning. And I realize I'm a couple days early, so just this is maybe prophetic. So the year 2020 breathed its last COVID-infected breath on December 31st at 11:59 p.m. Although it was only 1 year old, many believe 2020 lasted longer than 12 months. 2020, known early on as Baby New Year, was born on January 1st. As the ball dropped in New York's Times Square, the world anticipated the year and all that it promised. The excitement of the new year didn't last very long. It began with trouble in Iran. Then, on the 15th day of the year, articles of impeachment were sent to the House of Representatives. The novel coronavirus, COVID-19, made its first appearance in the U.S. 5 days later. In March, we began to learn new fun terms like lockdown, shelter in place, flattening the curve, pandemic, social distancing. We learned the difference between PPE and PPP, and essential workers and non-essential workers. Now, it's not fair to judge the year only in terms of the pandemic, for which it will always be remembered. It is much more diverse than that. 2020 came with multiple natural disasters, huge forest fires, terrorism, racial unrest, violence on the streets, talk of a giant meteor hurtling to the earth, a contested election, and even murder hornets. When asked her thoughts on the year, one lady responded, "If 2020 were a movie, it would definitely be a horror movie. But at least it motivated me to put up my Christmas decorations early." Her husband added, "I'm going to the funeral, but not to pay my respects. I'm going to make sure the year is really dead." Thank you, Carrie. I love you. "A requiem for 2020 will be held, but not many are expected to attend. When asked about this, the pastor responded, 'It's difficult preaching for the funeral of an unpopular year. There's not much good to say about it other than it's over. But therein lies the hope.'" Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait on him." And so perhaps for the first time in all of human history, the whole world can agree on something. Out with the old, in with the new. Happy New Year. All right. So this is not, as Renee Shelton calls it, a gripe, moan, and groan sermon. We're going to read our text this morning from Genesis chapter 32, beginning in verse 22. "During the night, Jacob got up and he took his two wives and his two slave women and his 11 sons, and he crossed the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream along with all of his possessions. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not defeat him, he struck Jacob's hip socket as they wrestled and dislocated his hip. Then he said to Jacob, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' 'What is your name?' the man asked. 'Jacob,' he replied. 'Your name will no longer be Jacob,' he said, 'it will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.' And then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he answered, 'Why do you ask my name?' And he blessed him there. Jacob then named the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face,' he said, 'yet my life has been spared.' The sun shone on him as he passed by Peniel, limping because of his hip. That is why still today the Israelites don't eat the thigh muscle that is at the hip socket, because he struck Jacob's hip socket right at that thigh muscle." All right, let me take a minute here and let's put this strange story into its context. Now, I'm sure you remember Jacob. Jacob, the name means trickster or usurper, cheater, something like that. By the way, that's the English version of that is Jim. James, actually. So you'll remember that Jacob tricked his father Isaac into getting his older brother Esau's birthright. So Esau is the firstborn, so he gets the inheritance. But Jacob tricked Isaac in his old age, and then he stole his brother Esau's birthright. Now, you can imagine Esau's not real happy to have his whole inheritance stolen from him. Esau wants to kill his little brother. And so when you think that you have problems in your family, read this story again. So at this point, Jacob has been given the promised land as an inheritance. But he has not moved into the promised land. He hasn't taken possession of the promised land because he's roaming around the countryside trying to steer clear of Esau. Esau's looking for him. And so we find him at the Jabbok River. And so the promised land, his inheritance, is just on the other side of the stream. That's his blessing. And Jacob is ready to cross with all of his family, all of his clan. But he hears word that Esau is coming. Esau found out where he is. Esau is on his way with 400 men. So Jacob kind of freaks out, as you might, and says, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send everybody else over the river, and then I'll wait here and see if I can stall him. At least I won't lose everything. We can go get that on the other side of the river." And so Genesis chapter 32, verse 7 says, "Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed." He was greatly afraid and distressed. And so, in order, like I said, to keep Esau from all of his possessions, he sends them across the river, and he spends the night on this side by himself. And that night, he has that mysterious wrestling match with none other than, I believe, the Lord Jesus himself. I believe this is what we call a theophany in the Old Testament, a pre-incarnate visit from the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jacob says he saw God there. And so we believe that it was God, it was Jesus. And so Jesus and Jacob wrestle on the Jabbok River. And the Hebrews, of course, are storytellers. It was an oral tradition before it was written, so they loved to tell stories, and they had ways to remember the stories. And this one was a favorite campfire story because it's the story in Hebrew of Jacob, who is at the river Yabbok, who then Yabek with God, wrestle is Yabek. So Jacob, Yabbok, and Yabek. And so the kids loved it. And I do believe, not for 1 minute, that Jacob was looking for a fight. He did not want to wrestle that day. See, he's got a lot of problems in his life. He's got Uncle Laban, who's mad at him, and Uncle Laban's chasing him from the left. Then he's got Esau coming at him from the right. And so Jacob is in the proverbial between a rock and a hard place. And so Jacob can't handle these two adversaries, so he's not looking for somebody else to fight. And he's not there by himself just having a nice, quiet camp out. It was a matter of survival for him. He was just hanging on. So when God confronts him at the river Jabbok, that's all Jacob's trying to do is survive. He's just trying to make it. And this story caught my attention as we laid to rest 2020 for several reasons I want to share. The first is related to Jacob's state of fear, his emotions at the time. Okay, many of us, like Jacob, are headed into 2021 in survival mode. We're just trying to make it. Many of us are headed in like Jacob, with greatly afraid and distressed. And so Jacob understandably feels that way. He's got an army headed his way, but he's not sure about that army. He doesn't know if Esau intends him harm or good. He assumes the worst, as probably we would, because it's been such a rough year for him. And so he assumes the worst. And I think you and I are coming out of a rough year as well. We got a new year headed our way. And so we ask ourselves, well, what it'll be like? Will it be good? Will it be bad? Should we excitedly anticipate 2021? Or should we, like Jacob, go into the new year greatly afraid and distressed? Should we assume the best? Should we assume the worst? How do we do it? How do we survive what's coming? And so I just want to encourage you. Jacob was in great fear, but he should not have been. And the reason why is because of a promise God made him in Genesis 28, just a couple chapters earlier. God said to Jacob, "Look, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land," the promised land that he was now about to cross into, "for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." That's a pretty powerful promise. And I don't know if in the midst of all of the circumstances, Jacob just forgot that God said he was going to take care of him, that he wouldn't leave him, that he would fulfill his promises in his life. I don't know. But it's sometimes easy to forget God's promises, isn't it? When you get in the midst of trials and tribulations. Here's God's promise to you and to me, Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you nor abandon you." When you go into 2021, you go with that promise. He will not leave you. He will not abandon you. So Jacob was living outside of God's promises for his life. On the other side of the river was the promise that God made him, that was awaiting him. And so God made those promises to Jacob. God wanted to fulfill those promises to Jacob. But Jacob needed a little help. What he needed was a come to Jesus meeting, a literal come to Jesus butt kicking. Can I say that in church? Can you delete that? That's just 2020 talking. All right, a couple things I want you to see that Jacob needed some help getting through. The first was his resistance. Jacob's nature was to continually usurp God's will with his own. Does that sound familiar to anybody in here? Or is it just me? I tend to pray, "My will, not thine." unfortunately. Look at verse 24. Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him until daybreak. And so Jacob's physical wrestling match with God mirrored the spiritual battle that was taking place inside him. Jacob was continually putting his will forward rather than God's. And that needed to change. If Jacob was going to cross that river and get into his promise, he was going to have to start putting God first. And thank God we serve a God who won't let us get away with it. And he will wrestle us till daybreak if he has to. Because it's not better for us when we're running the show. It's a lot better for us when he is. And so as we go into 2021, I think our only hope is to head into the new year fully submitted to God and not resisting him and his leadership and where he wants to take us in the coming year. Second thing I want you to see is his brokenness. Jacob had some negative qualities about him, I guess, but one of the positive types of qualities, or at least something that I appreciate about him, is this is not a guy that's going to give up. He is not going to give up easily. And so Jacob wrestles, and it goes on and on and on throughout the night. And I don't believe at all that Jacob's winning. I think he's just holding on at this point for dear life. He's no longer wrestling. He's just hanging on. And I can relate to that because my son in middle school and high school was a wrestler. And as he began to put on weight, we would wrestle with each other. Now, I outweighed him by a lot. I was a lot stronger than him, but I could not beat that kid because he knew all the tricks. And he cheats. But at some point during the wrestling match, I literally am just holding on to him, trying not to get hurt. Right? I'm no longer really trying to win. I just want to get out uninjured. And that's where Jacob is right now. And he's hanging on to the Lord. And so the Lord finally had enough of it and touched his hip and dislocated his socket. And so Jacob reminds me here that we don't get anywhere with God by resisting. We don't get anywhere with God by struggling. We get where God wants us to be by yielding and by holding on to him. That's when we get our blessing. That's the key to 2021. Yield to God. Hold on to God. And so in verse 26, it says, then he said to Jacob, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Jacob was blessed because he yielded. Okay, now it took his hip socket to get thrown out for him to yield, but he finally yielded, and God blesses him and changes his name from trickster, cheater, usurper to Israel. Israel means one that contends, one that fights, an overcomer against all odds. What a beautiful, prophetically important name that God gave that nation. That nation that is always surrounded, that is always outnumbered, that is always the underdog. God says, "I'm going to make you a fighter, and you're going to be a winner." And so he gave Jacob that blessing. And then Jacob realizes at this point what's happening. And so verse 30 says, he named the place Peniel, "For I have seen the face of God. I've seen God face to face, and yet my life has been spared." That's what Peniel means, the face of God. And so he realizes this was not just some guy that wanted to wrestle. There was something really significant that happened here tonight. So he leaves, of course, changed. Look at verse 31. It says, "The sun shone on him as he passed by Peniel, limping because of his hip." So Jacob is forever changed. Outwardly, he's going to walk with a limp for the rest of his days. And there were several folks at Robes and Ranch that said, "Me too." And me too. And notice how God dealt with Jacob. God touched him. Just the finger of God. One touch with the finger of God, and a strong man becomes helpless. God doesn't need to pin your shoulders to the mat. He just needs to touch you. And so Jacob's now walking with a limp, and the outward change that is shown accompanied an inner change in him. A spiritual growth began that day. It didn't happen overnight. In fact, if we continue to read the stories of Jacob, you'll see him falling back sometimes into his old habits. He doesn't become perfect at all. But this now is that was a man of the flesh is now become a man of faith. And he's becoming the father of a nation, of a holy nation. And so just as he would later depend on this walking stick wherever he went, he was beginning to start depending on God rather than himself. He was beginning to put his faith in the Lord. And so I read that story, and it reminded me of where we are right now. I can't promise that 2021 is going to be any better than 2020 was. Some say it'll be worse. I tend to think, how could it get worse? But here's all I know. Jesus promised never to leave us or abandon us. Never. And so this isn't going to be the year he decides to leave us and abandon us. He didn't do it last year. He won't do it in the coming year. And we should learn what we can from this last year. We should take some time this week. You got a week to take some, a couple days, to take some time and ask God what lessons he wants you to carry into the new year. There's a lot of things that I think we took for granted as Americans. We took for granted as Christians. We just took for granted as free people that all of a sudden those were taken from us, and we began to realize what we were missing. What's the old song? You don't know what you got till it's gone, right? And so now all of a sudden our relationships, our ability to come to church. I remember when we were headed out into this, and all of a sudden a church was non-essential, and then they changed their mind. Of course, church is now essential, and I had to have a hall pass signed by Pastor Jeff to get around town. And I began, it's just, that gets me angry every time I think about it. But there's some things that happened this year that now we're learning to appreciate some of the freedoms that we have. And church, for instance. And so ask God to show you in your life what lessons you need to carry over from 2020 into 2021, into the new year. And make sure that as we head into that year that we are holding on to him tightly, that we are fully yielded to him, that he's leading the way, not us. I don't know about you, but there's some serious wrestling in 2020. In our house, it was a WWE SmackDown at times. And so we may be walking out of 2020 with a limp, but we are going with God's blessing. We are going with God's blessing. If we will yield to him and hold on to him, we go into the new year blessed by God. So I can't tell you what's exactly across the river in 2021. Who knows? God's promises, I know those are there. Those are awaiting us. We know that we cross the river with him. He's never leaving us, forsaking us. There may be, on the other side of the river, rumors of wars and antichrists, marks of the beast. I mean, those things have been prophesied for centuries now, so I tend to doubt that's what's coming next year, but you never know. Here's an encouraging note I want you to end on. So you remember Jacob is, what was the phrase? He was scared and greatly afraid and distressed because Esau is coming his way. 400-man army is coming after Jacob. And headed by Esau, vengeful, hateful, angry. He felt betrayed. And so Jacob's not in a great place. Well, in the next chapter, that army catches him. They catch Jacob all by himself. And this is what we read. Esau ran to meet him, hugged him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Then they wept. Not nearly as bad as he expected. What had changed? Nothing, except Jacob. Jacob had changed. Jacob was now living in the blessing that God promised him. He had finally yielded to God. He finally put God first, held on to him, and received God's blessing. And God even took care of Esau. So I pray that 2020 has changed you. I know that it's changed me. I pray that as we go into the new year, you're less resistant to the Lord's leadership, that you can embrace your brokenness and become more and more dependent on the Lord in the days ahead, that you and I would trust him more in the coming year. I'm really, really excited. 2020 is behind us. I am choosing to go into 2021 to kiss it and embrace it and weep with joy. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Your mercies truly are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And you told us you would never leave us nor forsake us. And we recognize that in this last year, even though it was difficult and challenging, you didn't leave us. You didn't forsake us. You've been with us this whole time. And so we go over the river into the new year, holding on to you, no longer resisting, asking for you to touch us, asking for you to bless us, to care for us the way you promised you would take care of Jacob. Change us, Lord. Turn us from Jacob into Israel. And as we head into this new year, Lord, we do so with anticipation, realizing that you go before us, you go behind us, you watch over us, you're the Lord of armies. And then we go with your blessings. Father, I'm asking that you'd meet needs in this room. Some of us are limping, but you can touch even that. Heal us. Encourage our hearts. Show us this week what it is you want us to see. Any place where we're not yielded to you, any place where we are resisting you, any place where we need you to touch us, we ask you to do it, Lord. And send us into this new year happy, excited about the days to come. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We would love to pray with you. If there's anything you need, you can come down at the altar here, or if you're online, 940-222-2627. If you'll call that, someone will be there to answer that and pray with you. We're very grateful that you're here today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. God bless you and Happy New Year.